going to bed one night, believe it or not. I was going to bed one night and nothing unusual. I got into bed, and honestly, as soon as I got into bed, God started to speak to me. So I got out of bed and I got a writing pad, a little writing pad, and I just scribbled a few notes down. I was going like crazy. I thought, I'll deal with this in the morning. And I wrote them down and just put them down. And it's only one of these little tiny pads. I filled the first little page with scribbles. And I was just about to lay down and boof, some more came. So I turned the page and started again. That night I wrote six pages just listening to the Spirit of God speaking. I'm thinking, I'm never going to go to sleep, am I? I was probably an hour and a half. And as I continue to look at this, it's just begun to continue to grow. So today we'll not finish it. That's a certainty. The thing is growing. The Spirit of God is moving, and the Spirit of God is growing, and the Spirit of God is pressing in. Go in and possess the land. And the title of the message today is, the Word of God is a creative power source. Amen. Say that after me. The Word of God is a creative power source. Amen. And I'm going to prove it to you. The Word of God is a creative power source. And we do not realize what source of power the Holy Spirit has placed within us. And we are underutilizing it most of the time, if not all of the time. That's a challenge to each and every one of us. We as motorbikers, we have bikes and they have a lot of power in them. And let's say all of the time we underutilize the power. Is that true? If we used all the power, we'd be breaking the limits and we might even be off the bike. They've got so much power. But at the same way, we underutilize the power of the Spirit of God. I don't think we realize what God has actually invested into the church. And I'm going to prove it to you. Genesis chapter 1. What a place to start. And verses 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and a void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God's been moving this afternoon over the surface, over you and me. He's been moving over the waters. And then verse 3 says this. Then God said, wow. Don't listen to what is being said on the media. It's in here. It's in the Bible. God said. Then God said, let there be light. Amen. And there was light. When God said it, it happened. When God said it, it happened. Amen. God said, and it came into being. Jesus, He's the Word. Holy Spirit. He's the one who moves over the surface of the earth. He's the one who moves over the church. See, Jesus came and died upon that cross so that the church might be brought to life, might be born anew, brought to life in the power of the Spirit of God, so that the Holy Spirit could move over the church. And in moving over the church, He will cause things to happen. As the Holy Spirit, you see, you have to look at the Word of God and realize the example, the pattern, the standard, the way God does things is in this book. The recipes are in here. He's not changed them. The Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. So you and I need to change. We need to change. Look at your neighbor and say to them, you need to change. You need to change. Now you've been told. We all need to change. If we don't, we'll end up going the way of the world. We'll end up falling foul of the tricks of the devil. And we'll miss God's appointments. We'll miss God's anointings. We'll miss God's presence. And so it's so important that you and I hear the Spirit of God, listen to the Spirit of God. And let me tell you this, sometimes the Spirit of God says things that you do not want to hear. I've been there. I know you have. Leave. Oh, you're joking, God. So much opportunity, so much potential. If I had not obeyed, we would not be here today. That's a certainty. I might have been spiritually dead. I was being killed. I was being spiritually crucified where I was. My spirit was being crushed. The church is not called to crush spirits. It is called to empower the people of God. It is called to teach and equip the people of God. And in doing so, you become empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom of God. Amen? And so we are called. We are appointed. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You know, you could spend time on this one alone. He was in the beginning with God. Who's He? Jesus. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. Without Jesus. You see, God the Father, God Jesus, the Son of God, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, this intertwining, this unity, this Godhead, that in themselves are individuals, but yet have one purpose, one goal. To bring about the presence of the Holy God into each and everybody's lives for His praise and for His glory. In verse 4 it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What does that mean? The darkness did not overcome it. Darkness can never overcome light. Hallelujah. The smallest light that you have will drive out darkness. That chorus, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know, when we let that light shine, the devil starts running. Because he hides in the darkness, he hides in the shadows. But you know, when we take the light of God and we shine it into those shadows, the devil begins to flee. Church, we're on the assault. We're not being pushed back. We're more than conquerors. That's right, Tracy. More than conquerors. We're not being pushed back. We're being pushed forward. The Spirit of God is pushing us forward. And we need to press into this and realize the word that has come up to us. This word, when it says in John's Gospel, and in the beginning, the word, the Logos. This is intelligent speech. Not babbling. Not babbling. When God speaks, He speaks intelligent speech to us. When Jesus was with the Father at the beginning of creation, He was the Word. He was that intelligent speech that caused all things to be created. You see, you and I have to realize that we have to learn to speak out the Word of God. We have to speak out the presence of God. And as we speak out the Word, then we will see, as the Spirit hovers over it and moves over it, that there will be an action and a reaction from the Word that we speak. Oh, how can that be? See the life of Jesus. He spoke the Word. And they were healed. He spoke to the blind. He spoke to the lepers. And they were healed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where does Jesus live right now? Who? He knows. In me. Yes, in all of us. That's right. How can that be? Because He's Spirit. God's Spirit lives in us. You see, we are connected to the Father. We're connected to the Holy Spirit. We're connected to Jesus because they're Spirit beings. And when we were born again, we were born again of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God raises up in Christ Jesus. We were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. But when we were born again, we weren't born of the flesh, we were born of the Spirit. You know something? The devil wants to hold you back. The devil does not want you to realize the presence and the power. The devil wants you to focus on the things of this world. And when you focus on the things of this world, you miss the things of God. Because the molehill suddenly became the mountain. And all you can see is this problem in front of you. I used to work with people, and all the time, all they could see was problems. I had a boss, he was a great boss, but he was one of those folks, he always saw the problem. But he always looked at me and said, Andrew, you're just the opposite to me. So we made a great team. He saw the problem, I saw the opportunity. And that's what we're to be like. God saw that there was darkness. God could have said, well, what we're going to do about that? What did He do? He spoke light. Amen. And bear in mind, you know, when God spoke light, the sun and the moon have not yet been created. Woohoo! Come on, you know. I know so often you read those verses of Scripture, and immediately when it says, and God created the light, you suddenly think the sun, don't you? No. That was tomorrow. That was tomorrow. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's coming. Tomorrow is coming. Hallelujah. And in tomorrow there is victory. In tomorrow there's the light of the God. In tomorrow there's separation between dark and light. Hallelujah. The Word of God is a creative power source. Come on, church. Believe this. I have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears and stopped, backs straight. And we had a lady in last week who we prayed for some weeks ago. She had a back problem. And I'm told she had one. She used to have one leg shorter than the other. She used to walk like this. Well, when we prayed with her, the Lord touched her, healed her. Now she didn't walk with a limp, does she? No more pain. Why? The light of God came. But the light of God has got to come through His church. Through the body, through the bride of Christ. I'll get to the message in a minute. Glory to God. I'm just warming up. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Today. Say, today. Today. We have the power of the spoken word. Yeah. Today we have the power of the spoken word, which changes circumstances and situations. Oh, hallelujah. We have the power of the spoken word, which will change circumstances. It will change the situation that you seem to think you are in. And we're in those circumstances and situations because we don't use the word. Oh, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. We need to stop and make things back off. Because you see, if you don't make time for the Word of God, you might live 60, 70, 80 years. If you don't get that firm foundation, if you don't get your spirit fired up and moving forward in God, you may not get that spirit. You may not arrive in eternity, or God's eternity. There's eternity for every one of us. One's eternal damnation. This eternity. Or there's eternity in God, in the very presence of the living God who. And that is our destination. Hell was never created for humanity. It was created for you and for me to live in the presence of God. God was creating heaven for you and I to live in His presence. Hell was never created for you and for me. That's for the devil and his demonic forces who've fallen. Whose power has been taken from them? Verse 12 in John's Gospel, he says this: but as many as received Him, Jesus, to them Jesus gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Do you believe in His name? Hallelujah. Rejoice in that. Believe in His name. Pull a chair up. Glory to God. Believe in His name. Rejoice in Him. Know the presence and the power of God. When it says here, it says power to become the sons of God. This word power in the Greek is exousia. It means granted power and authority to act as Jesus. Ooh, I tell you, that just made my hair stand up, that did. Whoa, glory to Jesus. Ooh, glory to God. You and I have been granted power and authority to act as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We've been granted that power. Praise His wonderful name. So, don't back off from the devil. Stand your ground. And not just stand your ground, but start to press in. God said, I've given you the land. So the children of Israel go in and possess. And they said, Oh God. Oh Moses. We've seen there's giants in the land. Yeah. God does not care that much about giants. He said, go in. I've given you this. Go in. Possess it. Don't be like the natural children of Israel. But be the spiritual Israel. And sadly today there's a lot of the spiritual Israel not doing what it should be doing. Praise God. I'll get to that later. We, through exousia, means we've granted power and authority to act as Jesus. In other words, speak the word of God. Releasing the creative power source of God into people's lives. One of the first power sources that you will find a wonderful experience in releasing is when you speak to somebody about Jesus. And they make that decision for Jesus. There's been a release of power. And they've been taken from death. And your words have breathed into them life. And they've been transformed into eternity in Christ Jesus. What a miracle. What a power source we have in our words. Don't be negative. Oh, well, every time I speak it out, it never happens. Well, keep doing it until it happens. Keep doing it. I remember the story of the disciples when the man brought the boy with epilepsy. Couldn't do anything about it. And Jesus came and he rebuked his disciples. Don't worry, now and again you get a rebuke from Jesus. Timothy was told, use the word to rebuke, to teach and to train. So if you get a rebuke from the platform, don't go home all in a huff. Don't go home upset. Take it on board and think, yeah, I need to do something. I need to do something. Because I don't know what goes on in your life unless God reveals it to me. But neither do I use this platform as a stage for a machine gun to shoot you down. The Lord said, encourage the people. Sometimes a rebuke has to bring you to a place where you're ready to receive some form of encouragement and direction. None of us are perfect yet. Hallelujah, but we're on the road. We're on the road. Are you on the road to perfection? Hallelujah. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Come on. We're on that road of perfection, moving forward in God. And so this power source that God has invested in you, that's the thing. God has actually invested His power into you. He gives you the responsibility to use it. You mean I've got responsibilities? I've got to use it? Yeah? You have. If you don't, you waste it. God didn't do this just because He thought, oh, it's make you feel good. He did it so that you will become effective for the kingdom of God. He didn't give it you so you could heap up riches for yourself. He gave it you that you might reach people for the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, sorry, I better just go back to that. I was talking about the disciples and their rebuke, weren't I? It's not in my notes, this just came after, you see. So these, Jesus rebuked his disciples because they couldn't deal with his epileptic boy. Now, this epilepsy is no different to a blind eyes, deaf ears, to lame people. It's no different as far as Jesus is concerned. He's an overcomer. He overcame everything. And when the Holy Ghost came upon him when he was baptized, it says, with power. Power. So often we are the church people focus on the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and I'm not against speaking in tongues, but we forget that it says power. It's the power, it's the dynamos, the power of God flowing through each and every one of us. Yet his disciples were not using it. And so Jesus dealt with a boy and just spoke to him. The boy was instantly and immediately healed. And the disciples went, wow. Whoa. Peter, did you see that? Yes, John, I did. How did he do that? Andrew says, I have no idea. So one of them says, go and ask him. Go and ask him. So he says the disciples went to Jesus and said, excuse me, Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Now, if you don't want a rebuke, don't ask the question. And he told them, he said, your unbelief stopped you dealing with that spirit. Now, and I know people have preached on prayer and fasting and saying you need to pray and fast to deal with the devil. No, no, no. The problem in that part that Jesus was dealing with was not the devil. The devil has never, ever been a problem to Jesus. The problem was the disciples' unbelief. And Jesus was saying, you better pray and fast about your unbelief. Because it is your unbelief that stops you achieving those things which I have appointed and called you to do. You got it? Read it in the Bible. Read it properly. And that's what it says. It's not praying and fasting so that you suddenly become stronger. He said, I give you all power and all authority. Now, if you've got all power, why do you need to pray and fast for some more? Because if you've got all, there is no more that's coming. Is there? You've already got it. If you've been to the supermarket and you've taken all the toilet rolls, all means all. And if you go back to the supermarket, there is no more toilet rolls because you took them all. True? And so we have to realize when Jesus said, I give you all power and all authority, there's no more available to you. You've got it. And that's it. You mean that's all I'm going to get? You mean there's no more available to me? No. You've got all of heaven right behind you. Don't get excited about that. I'll do it for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've got all of heaven right behind us, available to us. Oh, what a shout this should be. Amen, amen, amen. I've got it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Hallelujah. And so that rebuke was about unbelief. So you're struggling with unbelief, get into the book, start a praying fast, because you've got all the power, you've got all the authority, you've got that creative power source, it's resident within you. The only thing now you've got to do is to learn to release it. You've got to learn to release that latent power that God has placed within you. And if you feel the power's running low, charge it up. Let the word charge it. You need the right sockets and the right plugs. Connected to Jesus. Now we'll go to Matthew chapter 10. Just to emphasize that point again, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Hello? Why did they not deal with the epileptic boy? Because he'd already done it. This Matthew talks about it. Says he gave us all the power. He gave us all the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Every kind. Not some kinds. Not a few. Coronavirus included. Hello? Yeah, but you know. No, yeah, no. It's in the book. God knows everything before it began. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to do next. You don't know. But He knows. Have you ever been in a situation where you plan to do something and God says, no, you're not doing that. And He's gone before you. And He's gone and shut every door. And you get there and you go, where's the handles? He shuts every door. And God says, I'm protecting you. I've had that experience. His eye is ever upon you. Trouble is, we're dumb at times. We listen to the flesh, and the flesh is stupid. Do you know how I know the flesh is stupid? Because we have to send it to school to teach it how to do things. There's one thing the flesh knows how to do immediately. It knows how to sin. But you have to teach it how to do good. It always knows how to do evil, but it's not good at knowing how to do good. And so we have to send the flesh to school. We have to train it. You know, you started at 4, 5, whatever, and you went to school until you were 15 in some cases. And then when you'd finished going to school, you went to work and they said, oh, and by the way, we've not finished with you yet. Oh, it's an apprenticeship. You're going to do day release. Oh. How long for? 5 more years. Oh, God, no. I ended up, I was doing day release and another night class at one point. And then when I think I'd got my apprenticeships all sorted and done, the company turned around and said to me, We're moving you on. Right? Yeah. And we're sending you to university. Really? I don't want to go to university. So I ended up another 3 years doing a degree. And I'm like, what are you doing to me, God? And I'm thinking, I know I'm never going to use this. Because I knew at that point of time in my life, I was called into some form of ministry for the Lord. And I'm thinking, why do I need this engineering stuff and all that? And God's saying, you're just doing it, boy. And I used it for, when I finished it, I used it for a good 10 years and made some good money out of it. And then God said, right, now it's my time. You see, God allowed me to have my dreams and desires fulfilled, my natural ones, believe it or not. And when all, and I remember I got to the age of 33. I'd had the motorbike that I wanted. I'd had the sports car I wanted. I'd got the house I wanted. I'd got the beautiful wife I wanted. I'd got everything that I wanted. And one day I remember saying this, and I should have kept my mouth shut at that point in time. I said, well, I've got everything I want. What next? Don't ask that sort of question. Because I heard a voice come back to me and it said, it's me next. It's me next. And I went, okay, God. Whatever. And here we are now. So, praise God. And I can look back, and I look back rejoicing. I look back praising God for what He's done and the way He's cared and looked after me. But when it says in the Word of God, and He gave us all power, all authority, not giving you just some, He's giving you everything that you need right now. We have to learn to use it and to release it. And that's where you bring in Ephesians 4 and verse 12. That the fivefold ministry in the church is there to equip the saints. Who's a saint? Who's a saint? Let's see your hands up. Are you a saint? Right. So the Word of God says, the ministry is there to equip you for your work in the ministry. You aren't called to just come and sit in these nice comfy chairs that we bought for you. And they are. But you are called to work in the ministry. You're called to do the work of the kingdom. You're called to the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, He spoke the word, and they were healed. He spoke to the dead, and they were raised. You might say, I could never do that. Why not? He's given you all power. That all power covers a dead person. I've seen 3 people raised from the dead. Prayed for 3 people. Well, I prayed actually for more than 3 people. But 3 people I prayed for have been raised from the dead. God is so faithful. But we have to press in and trust Him. We have to take steps of faith. It is not just for the Andrews of this world. I would that each and every one of you would have the opportunity to pray for a dead person and see them raised. Tell you what, on, devil. Bring it on. To pray for somebody who's sick and see the power of God touch them and heal them immediately. Doctors said no. You went to the wrong doctor. Dr. Jesus says yes. We represent, we are Jesus on the earth. That's who we are. And you and I need to press in to the things of God. We need to move forward with God and see the God moving through us and see the anointing flowing through us. It's like the songs we were singing, the word that you gave, it just fits. Because God said, I need to talk to my people about my creative power that I have invested in each and every one of you. Wow. But I don't know how to use it. It's okay. We'll stand with you. Jesus showed his disciples. That's the reason he was there for 3 years with them. He was training them, preparing them. And when after the day of Pentecost came, 5,000. God just swept by his Spirit. There was a move of God out of all proportion. And God used people who had not spent too long in school. He used men who could not speak certain languages, and yet suddenly they were speaking in that language. Who did it? God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. He can do it today. He can do it today. How is it going to happen in you and me? Number one, we need more of the Word in our lives. With more of the Word in our lives, there will be more of the power source in our life. You see, all that happens is, and you can quote from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 through to 3, it says that God invented brainwashing, by the way. It says there that the Word of God washes your mind. It deals with doubt. It deals with unbelief. It deals with fear. And so by reading the Word, and let me reiterate this, read it out aloud. Well, I look stupid. Well, if you live on your own, who are you going to look stupid in front of? Only you. You see, let's go back to earlier on. Jesus spoke the Word and heal them. When you speak the Word over your life, it brings a quickening to this mortal body. It brings a source of supply to our spiritual being, because we're spirit beings first now. And the problem is today, so many people let their emotions rule them. You see, when we lived in trespasses and sins, we live by our emotions. But when we're born again of the Spirit of God, we live by the Spirit. And our emotions, we have to turn around and say, shut up. Be quiet. I don't care how you feel. That's not who you are. I am not who you are. I am born of the Spirit of God, and God does not feel like you. If you've ever felt suicidal, does God feel suicidal? No way. God has never had a suicidal thought in his mind. If you ever get suicidal thoughts, just tell them, hey, you come from the pit. That is from the emotional part of my life, and that is not from the real me. The real me is spirit-filled. The real me is spirit. The real you is spirit. Glory to God. Charge yourself with the Word. Let the Word of God quicken you. And as the Word of God flows through you, then the power of God will empower your spirit, and you start working through your spirit. You'll do things through the presence and the power of the Spirit, not through your emotions. So easy to be ruled by our emotions. You turn the box on in the corner, the TV, and then the next thing you know, it's moving over your emotions. The media, it moves over. At the moment, its major move is over the emotion of fear. Don't blame you. In fact, I can't remember the last time I watched the news. Because when you turn it on, it's fear. This might happen. Hang on. Whoa. They're saying might as if it is happening. They bring it to a point. This could happen. But when they say it, they emphasize it to a point where they're actually saying this is happening. They try and portray it, and so it creates this air of fear. And fear brings control. Fear brings control. You're afraid of something, you back off from it. You don't move. You're trapped. Like the rabbits in a headlight, isn't it? The deer's in a headlight type situation. Fear. Whoa. I remember one time we were leaving my father's house one evening and going back down the country lanes, came round this corner. Sat right in the middle of the road was two great big rabbits. They were having a discussion. And the headlights hit these two rabbits and they literally froze. Well, I went for the brakes, I tried to swerve. Guess what? I took one of them out. Fear brought death. It paralyzed the creature. I took evasive action, but not enough. I wasn't going to wreck my car for a rabbit. But the devil wants to put enough fear in you and me so that he'll wreck us or kill us. We need to speak the Word of God out. We need to speak through the Spirit. We need to let the Spirit of God begin to generate supernatural power in us. It's like when we were worshipping, as we started to worship, there was such a presence of God coming in amongst us. You know, when you read in, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, and it says as they were worshipping God, as they were singing and praising God, it says the presence of God. His train couldn't get all of God in it. His train began to fill the temple. I want some of that. I've experienced some of that in the past. And I've not had enough. It has left me hungering and thirsting for more of the presence of God to fill this place. And when that fills this place, you will feel such an anointing and a presence. God wants you to know that. He wants you to know that He loves you and He cares for you. God wants to release His power in this area. He wants to release it first in you. We have to be the ones who are prepared to release the power. You're the conductors of the precious anointing. You're the ones who God has empowered. You're the light in the world today. God's word first creates faith. That's what God's word does. Remember the great Billy Graham and the many crusades that he held. We used to take people who'd never been to church along, and Billy Graham would speak, and he would begin to talk the word of God. And when he finished, thousands of people would come down to the front and would stand on the auditorium, because he preached the word of faith and he created faith in that person's life. Daniel's been preaching on faith. We have a natural faith. You all sat down on these chairs today. None of you ever thought, oh, I wonder if this one's safe to sit on. Did you? You just plunked yourself down, sat on it and thought, I'm sitting here. You never gave it a thought if it might be faulty, did you? No, you just sat on it. When you go home tonight, you'll go home and the first thing you'll do, you'll unlock the door and you'll reach for the light switch. And if it doesn't come on, you'll be shocked. You'll be disappointed, won't you? Shocked's maybe not the right word. If it doesn't come on, you'll be like, what happened? But when it comes on, you just flick the switch and it's like, it always does that, doesn't it? It always does that. Let me tell you this. When you start using this power source, when you flick the switch on this power source, it always does that. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the healer. He's the one who sets captives free. He's the one who came to set the captives free. He's the one who brought salvation and deliverance. I remember one time I was in a service and I was preaching and Leonard was there. I was doing a study and I preached on the fullness of salvation. So many people preach on, put your hand up, come to Jesus and everything, that's it. But it's the whole package that Jesus gave us. Leonard went home, he'd been put on some pills for his nerves or something, and he went home and he looked at the tablets. He said, well, I've heard the word today. So he went to the toilet. I think the toilet was feeling depressed, so he poured them down the toilet and flushed them, and he was okay. Never taken them since. Is that right? I don't know. I remember that specifically. I remember you telling me, and that's from years back. The word has not changed. It's not changed. It created faith in Leonard. See, initially he went to the doctors and he gave him this prescription and suddenly he got faith in this bottle. Yeah? Read the side effects. I haven't got that. I could have though. Oh, forget it. Flush them. Dr. Jesus, when you go to Dr. Jesus, there are no side effects. It's all good. I'm not saying throw all your medication away, but what I'm saying is we need to press in. There is a power that is available to the church that the church has stopped tapping into. Become happy clappy. So let's get that power source in our life. Secondly, it's created in you a supernatural spirit. That's what the word does. Creates in you a supernatural spirit. You see, you've got a human spirit that always falls into sin. But then when we came to Jesus through that word of Christ, He creates in us a supernatural spirit. You see, that spirit can now listen to God. Because God is spirit. You see, our natural spirit, our human spirit, manages somehow to listen to the devil. Because it is fallen. It's working on the wrong frequency. You see, Daniel and I have got two little gadgets for our guitars. They have six different settings. There are times occasionally when one of them you just gets moved and you say, there's no sound coming out. What's gone wrong? Must be the battery. So you pull it out and you look, no, battery's all right. Oh, it's moved. Just flick the switch, get onto the right frequency, there is sound. Get into the right frequency with the word of God and hear the sound of the Spirit speaking to your spirit. That is where we need to be. God wants it. Thirdly, the word of God is a force that has created you to be one of the sons of God. It's created you to be a son of God. This allows you to connect with Father God, the creator of all things. When you come to Christ, you are now beginning to truly live. I'll say that again. When you come to Christ, you are now beginning to truly live. You just existed before that. You existed from birth to the grave. When you came to Christ, you were born again, and now you live for eternity. Hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name. You were once dead in those trespasses and sins, but today you're made alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. You've been born again, and there's a power source, the exousia, that granted power source, given to you, that it is available to flow through you, and you need to stay connected to heaven. You see, Vida brought a word during worship. Where did she get it from? Grace says she got it from the Holy Spirit. That's true. Where did he get it from? He got it from him. He got it from the throne room of God. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes to you and to me and whispers to us what God is saying about our circumstances and our situation. I tell you, when I saw that one, David, praise God, I just thought, fantastic, you know, this is amazing. So the Holy Spirit is listening to what Father God is saying about my circumstances and my situation, and he says, I've got something to tell you. This is what your Father says. Oh, come on, church. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. Stop being in the molly grub. Stop listening to the media of doom and gloom. I read the end of the book. We're the winners. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10, and Jesus says, let's turn to that. I want to read all of it. We often quote just a section B, as you might term of the verse. But let's use it all today. John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. And it says this. The thief. Who's the thief? The devil. The devil comes to steal. Have you lost anything? Has anything been stolen from you? Well, the devil took it. He says he comes to steal and kill and destroy. Do you see that? There is nothing there as far as Jesus is concerned that the devil is of any use. He's a destroyer, a robber, a killer. It doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. In some of the translations, it says, but. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for some buts. But, Jesus says, I came that you might have life. Glory to God. I'm breathing. I've got life. That I might you might have life and have it to the mighty abundance. There's no shortchange in God. What, go on, what version have you got? Just put it on here.
It says super abundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse, extraordinary, above the ordinary, more than sufficient.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Praise God. More than you really need. See, God is an abundance. Stop looking at what you've got. Look at what He has got. Look at what He has done, not what you've done. Not looking at what the devil's trying to do. Look at what God has already done. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have to realize this. And so when He says, I have come that you might have life, this is the Zoe life. This is the life of the Spirit. This is not 70 years and then drag it on a bit longer. This is the life of the Spirit. You know, come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. This is the life of the Spirit. It is a life with an abundance. My cup's full and running over. Give God the opportunity. Make a possibility for God to do something. Let your faith arise and let its enemies be scattered. Stop trying to do it yourself. Get focused on God. Get into the Word and let Him open every door. You know, we ran a business, well, we still do, but not doing much really now, but in our peak, one of the major companies two of them tried to sink us. Two different situations. And they came against us. And one was definitely going to take us to court and sink us. God made a way where there was no way. Because I trusted God. Because I knew I had done nothing wrong. But you know, even when you've done nothing wrong, if you let fear and doubt ride with you, you'll be convinced you've done something wrong in the end, and you will be defeated. But when you say fear and doubt's trying to ride on the same horse with me, get off. Get off. You ain't allowed to ride with me. That's right. The Word says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound and power and a sound mind. There's that power again. Glory to Jesus. Power of a risen Savior lives within our lives today. life is not about living life here. It's about living life in eternity. When Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly," he's not just talking about living now in this natural world. There was a song that Jim Reese sang, "This world is not my own. I'm just passing through." Hallelujah. Our home's elsewhere. Our victory has been decided in Christ. And we're moving on. We're destined for the eternity in Christ Jesus. We're destined to have that eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father. That is what He created it all for. That is why He created us. You're the children. You're the sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there because that's just the first page. And I have two more pages. Glory to Jesus. I want you to get hold of this thing about this creative power source that is there for each and every one of us. And you might turn and say, "Well, I'm not good enough. It's not on your merit." Because you and I will never, ever be good enough. But we have to remember, we're moving forward towards perfection. That is the promise. That is our end destiny. Perfection. So, in the flesh I may not be perfect, but in the spirit I'm already perfect. It's true. Look at the word. God is perfect, and when God put that new spirit, that put that new seed in me, it was an incorruptible seed. So guess what? I'm perfect in the spirit, but there's part of me that still needs to get sorted. I don't deny that, but I don't keep focusing on that, because if I do, it'll bring me down. I got to say, well, God has made me perfect, and I'm going towards that. I am pressing on. I'm pressing into that perfection. And I'm going to say to this, there are some who will reach that perfection before we receive heaven. Is that going to happen? What about Enoch? He walked with God. Why did God suddenly take him? You see, nothing that is sinful can enter heaven. And yet God took him. About that. Elijah, fiery chariot. If you look at him physically and look at his emotional state at times, God, there's only me left. Kill me now, you know. God says, "What are you talking about? I got 7,000. They have not bowed the knee." But God took him. I tell you, there are things that we don't realize that have gone off in the Word, and there are things that are coming that we don't realize that are coming. But we've got to begin to awaken our spirits and quicken ourselves to receive these things from God. So often we've been taught, be happy, clappy. It'll be all right. Maybe. If it don't happen now, it'll happen when you get to heaven. It should be happening now. Yes, the Word tells us. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. Rule and reign. On the earth. Not sit back and let somebody else rule over us, rule and reign on the earth. Spirit of God. No, everything's victory in heaven. Everything's fine. He's given us power to use now. So come on, church. Let that creative power source that is in you begin to flow through you and to do great signs and wonders and miracles for the glory of God, and that the powers and principalities will bow the knee to the name of Jesus Christ, and we shall see souls being won for Jesus. We shall see these miracles being outpoured. We shall see lives being touched. We shall see people being healed, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walking, the deaf being raised from the dead. That is our calling. That is our destiny in Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you.